going to share this morning a subject as I was just praying yesterday. The Lord brought this to my heart, and I want to share it with you this morning. We're going to go to Acts chapter 3, the book of Acts, chapter 3. Sunday school, please. Acts chapter 3. Verse. And I'm going to read to you from verse 1. And I'd like to read this before I get into doing any preaching this morning and teaching. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms." Now, when the Bible uses this word alms here, it's talking about charitable donation, asking for money. "Quick, John," Peter said, "look at us." So he, the man at the gate, gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now I'm just going to leave it there for the moment. I'm going to come back to that in a little while. But here we see Peter and John, these two disciples of Jesus. Now this is after Pentecost. Jesus has ascended to his Father. The Holy Spirit has come down. And Peter and John are on their way up to the temple. And the Bible tells us when they were going. It says, at the hour of prayer. The ninth hour of the day. 3 p.m. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're making their way to the temple. They're going to pray. They're going to seek and meet with God. Now, we can meet with God, as we've been looking in our Wednesday Bible studies, anytime, any place, anywhere. We don't need to be at a particular place, although Jesus taught us to go to somewhere where we can get alone with him. But they were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, at the ninth hour, in the 3 o'clock in the afternoon, in order to pray and seek God. And as they're going into the temple, they're going through this beautiful gate, or the gate which is called Beautiful. And as they're going through, this man who is lame, the Bible tells us he's lame from birth, he's unable to walk, he's laid every day at this gate in order to beg and ask money from those that are going in. Now he's asking the right sort of people. He's asking the people you'd expect to ask. Those that are going up to worship. Those that are going up to pray. Those that are going up to meet with God. They're going to the house of God. What better sort of people? Generous people. Righteous people. People that you could expect to get something from. And as part of his... what he was doing, he sees these two men approaching, Peter and John, and he asks them, he said, "Have you got something for me? Can you spare something? Have you got any money?" And Peter and John stop. "Oh," he says, rubs his hands, I should think. Not many people stop. But if someone stops, you can expect to receive something. And this is what he did. It says they fix him. Peter fixes his eyes on him with John. And Peter said to this man at the gate, he says, look at us. Oh, this man is in for a treat. That's actually what he says here. He gave them his full attention, expecting to receive something from them. Now, he had faith. This man had faith. Now, his faith might have been misplaced. It may have been in the ability of Peter and John to meet his need or to supply something to him. And maybe he was thinking of money so that he could buy his food and support his family or whatever he was doing. But he expected to receive something from them. And then Peter deals the statement that no one in that position wants to hear. He says, look at me, he says, and he pulls his pockets out. He says, I haven't got any silver, I haven't got any gold. I don't know what the emotions of this man at the gate were going through, and then maybe he's doing, he's doing sort of somersaults and things. One minute he's up, the next minute, oh no, I'm not going to get nothing. I mean, he's expected to receive a lot, and then he's getting nothing. So we haven't got any money, he says, but we have got something that you can have. He says, I have got something, and what I've got, I'm going to give you. I wonder what was going on in this man's mind. He hasn't got money. Maybe he's got a loaf of bread about his person. Maybe he's got some food. Maybe he's going to bless us in some other way. I haven't got silver. Silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. And then he delivers this statement. I want you to see what it says. Verse 6, please, Gerald. Verse 6. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. Let's read it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What are the key words in that phrase? In the name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The church, you and me, has been given the name of Jesus and all the power and authority that it carries. Peter used the name. He says, I haven't got silver, I haven't got gold, I haven't got any food, I haven't got any material things that I can give you, but I've got something you can have. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And then he puts him to his feet. Now this man can't walk. He's never walked. He's been lame since birth. But Peter lifts him to his feet. Immediately as he stands up on his feet and ankle bones receive strength, and he's able not only to walk, but he's able to jump, and he's able to run. Okay? He can walk, he can leap, he can run, and he goes into the temple, walking, leaping, giving praise to God, and everybody could see that this is the man that sat every day at the beautiful gate. Amen. This man received a miracle. Now the authority of the name of Jesus was not just given to the apostles or the early church. It was given to the entire church.
Amen.
The church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You don't have to turn it up, Gerald, but I want to read to you a scripture from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 14 and 15. Ephesians 3, 14 and 15 says this. Paul's writing to the church here in Ephesus. And he says, For this reason, now you have to go back and see what he's talking about. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for this reason, he says, I'm going to pray. I'm bowing my knees. I'm worshipping the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. From whom, talking about Jesus, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, the church has the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The whole church has the name of Jesus. We are called by his name. In actual fact, when we describe ourselves, we take his name. We say we are Christians. We are Christ's ones.
Amen.
We belong to Jesus Christ. We take his name. When a man and a woman come together, now, it's not the same in some cultures, but in Western culture, the wife takes the name of her husband. She becomes Mrs. When Jane married me, she dispensed with the name Foreman, and she took on the name Warren. She took my... Why? Because we become one flesh. And when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we repent of our sins, we give our lives to him, we become one with him, we take on his name. We become Christ. Not the Christ, but we become Christians. We take his name. And whatever we do, whatever we say, the actions we do, Colossians tells us, whatever we do in word or deed, we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We do it in his name and give thanks to God the Father through him. So when we pray in his name, Jesus' name. When we come together and meet, we meet in his name, Jesus' name. When we worship, we worship in the name of Jesus. When we baptize people, we're going to baptize someone, a sister, after the service. When we baptize in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We do it in Jesus' name. I'm tripping over the carpet. In the name of everything we do, when we go to work, we go to work in Jesus' name. When we earn our money, we're doing it in Jesus' name. When we give in Jesus' name. Everything we do, in word or deed. What we say with our mouth, what we do with our hands, our feet, and our bodies, we do in the name of Jesus. Why? Because that gives thanks to God, the Father.
Amen. Thank you.
When Jane does anything, sign a check, she's doing it in our name. She writes a check from the bank. Well, not that we use checks much these days. But you used to sign the check. It's in our name. Because we have the same name. We are one. We do it in our name. We do everything we do in Jesus' name. Now, I want to just show you something about the name of Jesus. Do you know, we've actually been given a command regarding the name of Jesus. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. The first letter of John, chapter 3, verse 23. It says this, "This is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment." Now, if you still ask the question, what is the great commandment? A lot of us would say, it's that we love one another. Well, what did they say? Jesus said, we love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, everything we've got, and our neighbor as ourselves. We love one another. This is the great commandment, that you love one another. But here, John's writing to the church, and look actually the order he puts it in. He says, this is the commandment. First, that you believe on His name. The name of Jesus. And love one another. You know, there's power in the name of Jesus. Now we need to believe in the name of Jesus. We need to put our faith in the name of Jesus. Now very often as Christians, and we use it a lot, we use it in Jesus' name. But actually this could become such a cliche that we don't actually really fully believe in the name. We can say, oh yes, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And we can say it all the time, and it'll become a cliche for us, but it won't actually really mean anything. But here, the Bible's telling us that we've got to believe in the name. We've got to put all our faith in the name, so that when those words come out of our mouth, like they did with Peter at the beautiful gate, that they come out of their mouth with such power that things happen. But we can go up to the person in the hospital in Jesus' name and raise them up out of the hospital bed. Now, we've got to establish our faith. We can't just go into the hospital room and just say in Jesus' name and expect it to happen, because it doesn't always happen like that.
It happens that a lot.
But it comes after a time of building and establishing your faith. So we've got to believe in the name. And I want to show you something from the scriptures, that this is not just something that I'm saying. Because if we go back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, where they're going into the temple, and he says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, this caused a little bit of commotion, as you can imagine. This man's running into the temple, he's jumping, he's shouting, he's running, and he's praising God, and it draws attention, as it would. You know, if somebody in the service this morning, you've been suffering for years and years with some painful problem in your legs or your hips, and suddenly you get an instantaneous miracle, you're going to jump up and shout hallelujah. And it's going to get attention. We're going to turn our heads and say, who's praising God? What's happened? It's what happened when the woman pressed through and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And Jesus stops it. Who touched me? Everybody's suddenly now interested. There's an audience. And this is what happened here in Acts. All the people saw him walking and praising God, verse 9, and they knew it was the man who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate. So they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed, this is verse 11, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And Peter began to explain to them and respond to them and said, why are you marveling at what's happened? Why do you marvel at what's happened? He said, why are you looking at us as though we've done something in our own power or godliness? Then he begins to preach to them. He says, it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus. Then he tells them, you delivered him and denied him in the presence of Pilate. He was determined, when he was determined to let him go, you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. He's taking them back just two months to when they condemned Jesus to death. So this is what you did, he says. He says, you killed the Prince of Life, but God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Now listen to this statement, verse 16. And he says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. There is power when we put our faith in the name of Jesus. His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. It's the name of Jesus. Come back with me to Mark's Gospel chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. This is the Great Commission. You know, the Great Commission Jesus told his disciples, and it's for us as well. In verse 15, he says, go into all the world and will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Then verse 17 says this, and these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now let me ask you a question. Whose responsibility is it to minister to those with needs? The pastors?
No.
The preachers? It's those who
believe.
Those who believe. Those who believe what? In the name of Jesus. Those who believe in. Now I want to take the liberty this morning of just moving the punctuation in that verse. Because as you know, the punctuation wasn't in the original. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons.
Amen.
They will speak with, take up serpents, speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Those who believe in my name. Because that's what Paul was writing and John was writing about believing in the name. Putting your faith in the name. Because when I say the name, I'm talking about the name of Jesus. You appreciate that. Because we saw Peter used the name of Jesus. And he said, as we read there in Acts chapter 13, chapter 3, that it was faith in the name of Jesus. Peter repeats that again in Acts chapter 4. Let me read it to you. In Acts 4, Peter repeats exactly the same words. Because by this time, they're before the council, the religious leaders. You know, because a great commotion has taken place at the temple, and they've been taken before the Sadducees and the captain of the temple. Acts 4, verse 8, I'm going to start. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you, listen, verse 10, let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, Jesus, by the name of Jesus, this man, of the name of Jesus. When we use the name of Jesus, the power of God is released to meet the need.
Amen.
Every person's need. I want to read a quotation. And this is from a Bible scholar, a man who writes in many of the commentaries and many of the study books. His name is William Lassaw. And he wrote these words, I just want to read this, about this verse. He said, it is not the church's business in this world to simply make the present condition more bearable. In other words, he says, it's not up to us to just make people feel better by giving them money all the time. Now, that's part of our giving to the poor, it's part of the mission of the church. But he says, we're not just here to make them feel better that way. He says, the task of the church is to release here on earth the redemptive work of God
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. We are here Yes, we can give them physical support, but obviously our ultimate mission is to set them free in Jesus' name. Free from sin, free from sickness, free from poverty, free from everything that will grip them and bind them. Because the name of Jesus, I'm sure you know this, we have it at Nativity time, when Mary receives this message from the angel that she's going to give birth to a son, we find that the message comes in Matthew chapter 1, that she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You know, the name of Jesus means Savior, the Redeemer. Isaiah prophesied that his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What a... the name of Jesus. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah also says in chapter 7 that his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now he's the one who can save us from our sin. He's the one that can heal us from our sickness. He's the one that will deliver us from the oppression of the devil. He's the one that will lift us out of and snap the bondages and the chains and the habits that we're into. He's the one that ministers to us and lifts us out of poverty. In actual fact, Jesus is the one who can save us from any situation that we are in. Anything that we need saving from, we go to him. Because the Bible says this, again, this is the words of Peter on the day of Pentecost in this part of his closing part of his message. He says that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered from oppression and bondage. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now we know, I want you just in wrapping up this morning and closing, I want you to look at something from Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, yes we are. When Peter and John went into the temple, remember the man was laying at the beautiful gate, and he looked at them and he says, "Have you got anything? Can you spare any change?" And Peter stops, looks at the man, says he fixes his eyes on him, and he says, "Look at us. Look at us." Why did he want the man to look at him? Because everywhere, and you know, we always tell you this, you know this, don't look at me, look to Jesus. Don't look at me, look to Jesus. I can't do anything for you, but Jesus can. So why did Peter say, look at me? Now, I asked the Lord about this. I said, well, why did Peter say that? Why? I believe it was this. Because Peter couldn't help. He said, look, I can't do nothing. I've got no money.
Right.
I've got nothing. I can't do it. But he says, I've got something that I know someone who can, and I can give you that. In the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. Because we see later in the chapter in verse 12, when all the crowds are now looking, Peter says, why are you looking at us? As though we've done something. We've done nothing. We haven't done anything. It's all because of him. It's all because of him. Look to Jesus. Believe in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the name of Jesus is above every name. Philippians, give me Philippians 3, please, Gerald. Verse 9. Philippians 3, you know this scripture very well. Philippians 3, verse 9. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him. Who? Jesus. And given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Well, that's just a jump ahead. It says, therefore God has also highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess. You know, the name of Jesus is highly exalted. God has lifted it up. God has exalted him. God has given him the name. Now, the Jewish sages and those, the wise amongst the Jews, will actually say that this verse actually says this. And it's just as good, or you haven't put it on the screen. Philippians 2, okay, get the wrong scripture. Philippians 2, verse 9. It says, therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him his name, which is above every other name. God has given him his name, the name of Jesus. You know, everything that has a name must surrender to the name of Jesus. That's why we should believe in his name. We believe in him. We live, we move. Everything we do is in his name. Amen. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. So if you've got a condition this morning, you've got a need. If you've got a need, you know it has a name. Be it arthritis, cancer, poverty. It has a name. If it's got a name, if you can name it, well, that's good news, because that means it has to surrender to the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. So, believe in the name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every knee must bow. Paul writes these words to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 1 verse 21. And he's talking about Jesus. It says that he is far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and he's above every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So, let me encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters. Believe in the name. I don't just mean acknowledge it and use it like a cliche. But when you use those words, in the name of Jesus, put all of your faith, everything you can muster within you, in that name. Because there's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's give a hand.